Like, come on. Surely in our day and age, we can simply just put him on the shelf of yesterday. The God of history. He's irrelevant. Now, recently we've done a community survey. We've gone out to engage with the people on our streets. And actually, that would be a pretty popular position. Lots of people think that God is made up, fictional, non-existent. And there are many people who think that God, well, he could possibly be real, still don't really see the relevance of him in everyday life. Distant, confusing, complicated. And then there were the people who actually they quite liked the idea of God. They used really positive language of love and of all powerful. But they didn't actually think that he could be known. God was not a knowable entity. God in our modern society, he seems to be pretty irrelevant to lots and lots of people. And maybe that's your experience too. Now, you don't really mind that some people believe. That's fine, that's really fine. But you yourself just can't really seem to care. Actually, you've met loads of religious people and a religious type, and they just seem to lack luster for life. You've been along to church, and in your experience, it's just a dusty building filled with dusty people. I'm going to try, and tonight, and argue the case that God is relevant, that we should bother with him. And to do that, I'm going to be turning to the Bible and letting God show us why he is relevant today. Now, I know some of you here, you won't share my belief about God, and you won't share my belief about the Bible either. And believe me, I am not expecting you to. But the Bible, if you will, is a textbook for the Christian. So let's look at it together, and let's see together what God has to say. Because you see, as Christians, we believe that if we want to know what God is like, we don't have to imagine what he's like. We don't have to find a quiet place and contemplate for hours and just hope that we land on the right answer. We can know with confidence what God is like when we look at how he has chosen to reveal himself to us in his word. God does not, he doesn't want us to be confused. He wants us to know with clarity. So let's look at the Bible together, an eyewitness account of Jesus' life in the book of John. Let's look at an encounter Jesus has with a woman at a well. And we're going to, as we see and look at this encounter, we're going to see one of the many reasons why God is relevant. The premise of my talk today is we should bother with God because Jesus can give you eternal life. We should bother with God because Jesus can give you eternal life. Now, early on in John's account of Jesus' life, he tells the story of this Samaritan woman. Now, every day, this lady, she has to go up to this well and she has to fill her jar of water so that her and her man, they can survive. They need this water just to survive. Now, most women who had to do the same task every day, they would go in the early hours, in the cool of the day, when the sun isn't beating down on them. And yet, John tells us of a woman who goes not in the cool of the day, but in the very middle of the day, when the sun it is at its hottest. And she goes there friendless. And she goes there alone. And we find out, as the story goes on, she does this because this lady is a social outcast. And when she gets to the well, John tells us that instead of finding it empty, as she'd hoped, she meets a man there. She meets a thirsty Jesus, who asks her to give him a drink. At first, she is taken aback by this. Because in that culture, all those years ago, a man and a woman would not have been caught chatting unless they were related. And to make matters worse, Jesus is a Jew and this woman is a Samaritan and they're opposed to each other. They're ethnically against each other. And here is Jesus asking this Samaritan woman for a drink. She just can't get her head around this. And she demands to know why he's talking to her. And Jesus' response, it is totally newsworthy. I'm going to pick up from this story on page 8. And if you'd like to, there's little copies of John's eyewitness account on the table for you to follow too. So we're going to pick up from page 8. This is chapter 4. From verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you've got nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. During my gap year, yes, I am that much of a cliche, I went to Thailand. And we didn't have drinking water. So every single day we'd have to, one or two of us would have to go and fill up a few litres of water so that we had enough to get us through the day. And it was just a nightmare. It was so annoying. But it was nothing compared to the effort involved in getting water all those years ago. It would have been a daily struggle to carry a really large jar to a well, fill it up, and then carry an even heavier jar home. It would have been a daily fight just to survive. We need water to survive. So when Jesus uses this metaphor of water, he is using a metaphor that is steeped in the struggle of human life. He is using a metaphor that is steeped in the struggle just to survive. And here is Jesus offering metaphorical water that will quench thirst. It will be a drink so satisfying, so fulfilling, that you're never ever going to be thirsty again. The woman, she has to go back to this well day after day after day. And we have to go back to our kitchen taps day after day after day. But this water will quench thirst. Do you remember the first time, or one of the times you finished a long race and you get given a bottle of cold water and you just glug it down and it is so refreshing? Or maybe a time when you're outside and you've been painting the garden fence or a shed, and at the end of a long hot day you get given a cold beer. Oh, it is so refreshing. It is so good, isn't it? Well, the water Jesus gives you is going to be better than that, because it will quench your thirst. If you drink this water, it will be like a spring of water has been created within you, a spring that keeps on bursting forth glorious, fresh, refreshing water. And this spring will never stop gushing out water. This spring enables you to live forever. Water is needed for daily survival. And here is Jesus offering a water that will enable you to survive forever, to live forever. This water will give you eternal life. Oh, how sweet does that sound? No more death? How good does that sound? Death is this hideous monster. It's this hideous monster which laughs at us and mocks us. He cackles at us as we build our lives, as we buy our homes and our cars and our possessions, as we work hard at careers and grow families and invest in friendships, as we create and we mold this beautiful little world around us. Death laughs at us, because in no time at all we will be plucked out of this world we have made. Everything that we have will be left behind. Doesn't that just feel meaningless? Death crushes our value, because whatever we achieve, we cannot enjoy once we have died. Death is a monster, and Jesus is promising the end of death. Jesus promises to slay this monstrous beast. Jesus promises eternal life. Now, you might have read in the papers that Google is investing in the extension of life. Google wants to enable you to live for 500 years. Well, Jesus laughs at that pitiful small number because he'll enable you to live forever. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, I cannot believe that this man is trying to sell Christianity on the hope of eternal life. That seems medieval. But do you really find yourself not craving it? A great modern artist, Damien Hirst, said in an interview with the Daily Telegraph, I do not know why I'm here, but I'm glad that I am. I'd rather be here than not. I'm going to die, and I want to live forever. I can't escape that fact, and I can't let go of that desire. Well, put differently, a friend of mine, Michael, said, as I stood at the graveside of my friend, I knew to the pit and the bottom of my heart that this was not just sad, this was wrong. I know I'm going to die, and I want to live forever. Death, it isn't just sad, is it? It feels wrong. Are these longings, are they alien to you? Or are these actually the things you ponder about at night when the lights are off and you're just alone with your thoughts? The academic and author C.S. Lewis said this, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Because it's interesting, isn't it? Because when we're hungry, we follow that desire and we eat. And when we're thirsty, we follow that desire and we drink. Those aren't just random symptoms which mean nothing. The desire we have for life and for more of it, it is telling us something. We were made for another world. God is relevant. Because Jesus fills that desire, that longing, that hunger, that thirst. And he offers us eternal life. Now, at first, this Samaritan woman, when she hears about this water which gives eternal life, well, she's confused, and you can't really blame her. She thinks it's some physical water. But this isn't physical, this is spiritual. And now the conversation between Jesus and this woman, it goes on. And Jesus reveals how actually he knows everything about this social outcast. And he knows why she is a social outcast. See, this lady, she had moved from man to man to man to man to man in a world dominated by traditional values. And yet, Jesus still comes to her, this social outcast, and offers her this gift of eternal life. Jesus then explains how she can get it. And you're not going to get it through going to a religious building. And you're not going to get it through climbing a mountain and thinking for hours and pondering and meditating. You are only going to get it through worshipping God and through receiving this gift from Jesus. If you want the water of eternal life, you have to worship God and accept the gift which only Jesus can give you. If you want the water of eternal life, you're going to have to recognize the one God has chosen to reveal himself as. If you want to live forever, if you want death to be defeated, then you have to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. That was true for her then, and that is true for us now. Now you may be sitting there thinking, but Adam, mate, I'm a good person. Like, why on earth do I have to recognize God to gain eternal life? That just doesn't add up here. I'm good. Why do I have to accept this gift? Surely, should I could just get it. Surely I'm good enough as I am. But that is precisely what must be done. We must receive it. Because if we don't, then actually what does that tell us about our attitude towards God? If we think we're good enough and we don't even recognize who he is. So imagine, if you will, that I'm married. I'm not, just in case you don't know, but imagine that I am. And imagine on my wedding day, I promised to my wife. I said, I'm committing to be a good husband. I'm going to be financially secure and stable. I'm going to make sure I help out with the housework because I'm not going to be a lazy bum. And I'm never, ever going to be physically abusive. And once we're married, like, I keep those things. I am financially stable. I help out with the cleaning because I don't want to be a lazy bum. And I'm never, ever physically abusive. But I don't talk to my wife. In fact, I ignore her day after day after day. Years go by and I don't acknowledge her. We don't even speak. But surely I've been good. Like, I've kept my word, haven't I? Like, the things I've said I was going to do, I've done. I haven't been abusive. I've been financially secure. I've helped out with the housework. Like, I'm a good guy, aren't I? I'm a good husband, right? Surely that's the only answer. No way. There is no way we would ever come to that conclusion. There is no way my wife would consider me a good husband. Because even though I've kept my word, even though I've been morally good and upheld to the things I said I would do, I have no relationship. None at all. There is no relationship. There's no respect. There is no love. It doesn't matter how outwardly good we may be. If we don't even acknowledge God, then how can we say that we have a relationship with Him? How can we say that we want to spend eternity with Him? And that is not how it's meant to be. If I were married, I shouldn't live a silent life with my wife. I should have a wonderful relationship. Now, Jesus offers us eternal life so that we can have a good, fulfilling relationship with God. You know, like, once I thought I was good enough for God. Like, I was easygoing, incredibly easygoing. I gave to charity, I respected people, I did all the things you were meant to do. But I just didn't really acknowledge that Jesus was God. I wasn't prepared to worship Jesus as God. I wasn't prepared to accept this gift. And actually, it required Jesus to step off the pages of John's letter and to offer me the water of eternal life. I didn't deserve it. I hadn't done anything. I hadn't started looking for Him or searching for Him or asking. It wasn't me. I hadn't done anything. And yet, God offered me the water of eternal life. God offers to heal that broken relationship with me. God offers to give me a life that will last forever and ever and ever. That offer He gave to me is an offer He gives to everyone. Recognize that Jesus is God. Accept the gift which He gives you, and you will have a life which will never end. Jesus offered this Samaritan woman, this social outcast, the water of eternal life. Jesus offers us the water of eternal life. Now, it doesn't matter who you are. Like, you may actually think that I'm a nobody. I don't deserve this gift. Well, Jesus gives it to you. Or you may actually think, well, I'm a somebody. Well, Jesus gives this same gift to you. Everyone needs it. Everyone has death looming over them. We should bother with God because Jesus can give us eternal life. If you found anything I've said tonight to be striking, and actually you just want to read up a little bit more about this Jesus guy, then can I encourage you, please take away one of these eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life and look at it for yourself and see who this Jesus guy is. Or maybe you're actually thinking, I just want to grapple with this for myself. I want to come to good conclusions and work out who Jesus is and what impact He's going to have on my life. And can I just encourage you, we've got feedback forms on every table. And if you just want to grapple with it, then can I encourage you to tick that, tell me more. And we've got a few courses starting in just over a week. So tick that, tell me more, and fill in your details. Or maybe actually tonight, you've heard about how Jesus offered this woman the gift of eternal life. And actually you crave that. You long for Jesus to give you that gift of eternal life. Well, maybe tonight you want to acknowledge that God can be known in Jesus. You want to accept the gift which He can give you. Well, can I encourage you, be bold, take a pen and tick the count me in box and let someone know. Jesus wants to offer everyone this gift of eternal life. To conclude, I know I have made some outrageous claims. Huge claims, really. Don't you dare let me get away with it. If actually you disagree with something I've said, or you've just got a question about something I've said, please text them in and let's discuss them. That'd be a joy.